Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Melanie Brown with me, and she is the Miss Female Entrepreneur USA from 2018 to 2019. She is passionate about youth embracing their true brilliance. Melanie loves sharing her message: when you build a life you love to live, you don't want to leave. Loving teens back to life and rebuilding and revitalizing love relationships is her work in the world. Remember, create joy. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Caroline. It's so nice to chat with you today.
Absolutely. So I would love for you to just really dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can dive a little bit deeper as well.
Oh my gosh, how long of a journey do you want to know?
How much time do we have?
Right? How much time do we have? Where I am today is kind of an amazing journey. I guess we all have our hard struggles, right? And the things that we overcome to really find, what would you call it? Find your calling or your space in the world where it lights up your life, I think. And as entrepreneurs, I feel like that's really what we search for, because we're not satisfied really with the 9-to-5 and making our boss money, right?
Yes.
I went through a divorce in 1998. I guess we'll go there. Was working a job. In my previous existence, I was an accountant in a corporate office. So that was me. And raising my very large family. I have 9 children, 7 by birth and 2 by adoption. And at the time of my divorce, I had 6 children left at home, and I got laid off my job the month my divorce was final. And my life got really kind of crazy and scary. And looking back at some point now in my journey, I realized more and more how emotionally and verbally abusive that relationship was and how long it took me to get out of it. And it was a 19-year relationship. And I realized it took me about 4 years post-divorce to really get my head unmuddled from all of the manipulation and nonsense that went on. And then I ended up going back to school to get my degree. I started out getting a bachelor's degree in business management, University of Utah. And I mentioned to my marketing prof that I wanted to create an organization that helped men and their children have the resources they needed after divorce, because literally by the time I found what I needed, I didn't need it anymore. And he said, oh, well, you need to get a master's in social work. And so I did. Mm-hmm. And I have really loved that journey. Started working with a big variety of clients, right? When you start in any kind of business, you kind of take what you get. Mm-hmm. And found that I really, really love working with couples. Really love. I'm really good at it. And I have like a 97% success rate in rebuilding and revitalizing love relationships. So that has been a fascinating, wonderful journey. But I ended up having a son that completed a suicide 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that has really launched me in the direction of trying to understand suicide. I know that's a scary word for a lot of people, and I believe that we need to be able to say that. So that's why I'm open to expressing that. A lot of people avoid that word. is kind of like the C word, cancer, but this is the S word, not sex. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I have come to realize in my journey that actually sex is like suicide. We think if we don't talk to our kids about it, they won't do it. And we're wrong. Mm-hmm. We're wrong. The National Association of Mental Health, NAMI, their statistic research, BC, before COVID, mm-hmm. was that in the United States, and other countries kind of mirror this, some more, some less, right? But in the United States, one in every three 10 to 17 year old that dies takes their own life. And we have children now as young as 5-6 years old committing suicide, which is so hard for me to fathom and so heartbreaking. Yeah. Just prior to COVID, they put out their new findings, and that was that one in two 10 to 17 year olds that die in the US take their life. Every other 10 year old that dies. Mm-hmm. This can't be. And the brief kind of work that they've done on understanding the impact of COVID and all of the world-changing stuff that's happened with that is that suicide rates have gone up 60%. Mm-hmm. That's much higher in our LGBTQIA kind of realm, right? Mm-hmm. So I just like, oh my gosh, heartbroken. And when my son passed away, I was already a therapist. Mm-hmm. So there's the heartbreak of being a mother and losing a child, and the heartbreak of being a mother who not only should I have known how to fix it because I'm his mom, right? Mm-hmm. But also because I'm a therapist, I should have known. So I'm a spiritual person. I'm a God goddess person. That's my higher power for me. This is where I was at. I went through all the grief and the struggle for months and months, not really, you know, when someone that you love dearly passes from your existence, mm-hmm. it's kind of the space of where it's amazing to you that life just keeps happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For everybody else, life is normal, and life is never going to be normal for you again, right? Mm-hmm. But once I'd gotten through the initial grief and could like breathe again, I reached out to God and I was just like, I need an answer. Like, mm-hmm. I should have known. I'm his mom. I should have been able to fix this or stop this. And I want people to know that when someone is highly suicidal, sometimes you can't. And that is the harsh reality. Mm-hmm. I asked for answers and I searched, and I realized as I traversed back through my own life and I reviewed my own life, that I began to find the things that I had done in mm-hmm. my life, having been seriously suicidal as a teen and a young adult, that made the difference. And I knew that I could teach those things and apply those things mm-hmm. with my people who were searching for a way to figure out how to stay alive, right? Mm-hmm. That I could apply those and teach those and help them understand for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I know this.
Yeah.
Amazing to find this for me. I know this. Mm-hmm. When you intentionally build a life you love to live, you don't want to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
When you intentionally build supportive, loving, healthy relationships around you, set boundaries, release people from your life that aren't your people that love on you, when you learn how to manage your emotions and really honor them and work with them and really come into the space of your own self-worth,
mm-hmm.
solid in you, you can create like a life of great joy. And mm-hmm. when your life is like yummy and wonderful,
mm-hmm.
I would believe. Yeah. And so what I found really in people who struggle with suicidality is they just lack some of these skills. They really are skills that can be learned.
Mm-hmm.
And families can learn those together.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our teenagers here. Now I've had, oh my gosh, 5 near-death experiences in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Still here. So I'm not worried about what happens when I die. I've been there. I know what that looks like. And it's a space for me in my experience where I felt perfectly loved.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that I needed to do to be better or more valuable than I am. Sorry. And I want that for everyone.
Yeah.
For especially teenagers. Like, I don't know about you. We have this mindset, right, that teenagers are tough. It's like having a 2-year-old reborn. And I want to change that mindset for parents. I do. Because in my experience, teenagers are amazing and they're brilliant. They're incredible human beings. They know so much more than we think they do. We just don't give them enough credit, right? Mm-hmm. We don't traverse helping them into adulthood in a way that helps them shine. Mm-hmm. Because they're so scared that they're going to make some major mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it really fascinating that I don't know, you're an adult, right? Have you made any mistakes recently?
Caroline? Every day. I make mistakes right. Every day. I know one's right. Perfect.
All the time, we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But we think our teenagers should have it all handled and never do something that we're just like, I can't believe that you did that. Mm-hmm. And if we could own our own adulthood and that we make mistakes and we're still learning, and we could hand that same grace, mm-hmm. I guess, over to our teenagers and be like, mm-hmm. oh, it didn't go so well. What are you thinking about this? And have conversations. Could we get out of our mom and dad voice, like, you need to fix this and you need to straighten this, and you need to do this right? Like,
yeah.
We can sit with them. You will find that teenagers already know when they screwed up, and some great loving conversations can be had about the lessons learned, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing. They're mm-hmm. amazing.
I couldn't agree more with you. And, you know, I just think your journey is so special, and especially teenagers. I have a soft spot for teenagers myself. Being a former marriage and family therapist for years, working in actually an all-boys Catholic high school for a year when I was interning, and I saw a lot and experienced a lot. And you're right, teenagers, I love working with the teenagers, especially in private practice too. I had like my little girls group as well. But being able to realize that they're not a little kid, but they're not yet an adult, but they are so intelligent. They have so much to offer, but it's creating that space. It's such a tough age. Like, middle school is one age, but like really that like end of middle school, beginning of high school till they're like off into the real world at 17, 18. But understanding how their brains work and giving them that opportunity to share and not scolding them, just really being able to know that we are human, we are going to make mistakes. And I always say it, like, nobody is perfect. I don't know anybody that is perfect. We've all had situations that we've had to overcome, but that doesn't make us less than or that it is final. But understanding too, our feelings are temporary and that can change. But I love your motto and what you embody of just really creating a life you don't want to leave, that you have that support around you, because that is so important and so key to really understanding you have that those people around you that want you here and love you, but also you feeling that too. And it's different for every person. No two people are exactly the same, I don't think, because we all have different brain chemistries and situations that we encounter. But if we could have a space, and the spaces you're creating, I think is so beautiful and so important. So I just had to comment on that because I think it's very important to echo. And we'll have the suicide hotline and the new number that actually just came out recently in the link below as well for people.
So here's the other thing that I want people to really understand about suicide that I think is massively important, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I found out after losing my son and in conversation with other professionals and other clinicians,
mm-hmm.
I found that even professionals have a hard time talking to people openly and being like, hey, have you thought about suicide? Mm-hmm. Have you considered ending your life? You look like you're really struggling. Is this something that you need help with? Because they didn't know what to do with it once they found out. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to talk about this. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to say to the people that we love around us, our youth, our friends, our family, mm-hmm. anyone, right?
Yeah.
It is not going to give them the idea if you ask. They need to have someone to talk about this to, because really, ultimately, when someone comes to the place where suicide is the answer, they have no other answer.
Right.
It isn't like they haven't tried. They've tried all kinds of things and nothing is solving everything. And they think it's them, right? And they give mm-hmm. up. And once they make a plan, once they decide suicide is the answer, mm-hmm. they're relieved on some level, but it also scares them very, very, to get to that point, it scares them. But they're doing it because they don't think there's any other solution. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the wave of the ocean is the emotion that overwhelms them, right? And we all know that waves of the ocean, if you stood on the shore, which I love to do, that the waves, what do? They come in and they wash over you,
yeah.
and they recede.
Mm-hmm.
If you can sit with and be with someone who's under the undertow of the emotion of their life, not working right now, and they can't see their way out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Under the wave of the ocean, you can't see the sky. There's no way out of there. You just feel buried. But if you hold space with them and be with them,
mm-hmm.
the wave passes, they will live.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get help, and you need to get them to get help.
Right.
But you can keep someone from taking an action that is, you can't bring somebody back from the end of their life.
Right.
Right. And the example that we can also set for those around us is building that life. So I want to ask you, Caroline, I'm going to jump in here a minute.
Yeah.
Have you ever had something in your life that you would say to yourself here and there, like, someday I'm going to do this? What's your something?
Well, I'm doing all of it now. I guess. Yeah. I can't think of anything up until the YouTube channel was one of the ones that I was like, oh, someday I'll start it. And then I did it. I started it in January.
So there is, if you can look through years and years and years of calendar, and you will never find a date that says someday on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
If we want to build a life we love to live, it needs to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us, those who might be listening to this, I should say, I want you to think about your someday.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want you to do is find a date on your calendar that you're going to put that on, because there is no someday. And we so often put off the things that really matter to us in case, we can be able to do it later. But if you don't plan it and you don't put it on your calendar, it will never happen. There was a man who worked with my husband several years ago, and he and his wife had bought a cabin
mm-hmm.
for when he retired. They were going to go spend time at this cabin and enjoy their retirement and blah, blah, blah. And, he retired mm-hmm. and in 3.5 months, died. Now, couldn't they, in the process of his working world, taken vacations and spent time at that cabin and really, and this is my point, right? We never know how long life is. Life ends when it ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everybody to just go hug your favorite person today, right? Just go love on your kids, especially teenagers. Find what they're doing right. Tell them how much you see in them, right? Tell them how much you care about them. Listen. I put down all the stuff want you to know absolutely, if your child, preteen, teenager, young adult, comes to you that you love, and they tell you that they're struggling and they need help, I want you to put everything down. I want you to put your phone down. I want you to stop doing what you're doing. I want you to turn the TV off. And I want you to be there with them, because it takes so much for us as human beings to talk to somebody and say, I'm not okay. And you can make the difference, right? Really not okay, mom, dad, it's not your fault. Not you. But get them help, because the expense of a funeral, you just can't bring them back from gone, right? You just can't bring them back from gone. It's not worth it to wait and hope they get better. If they're reaching out for help, get them help.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you bringing this to the conversation, because like what we were saying earlier too, and what you had said, is really about being able to talk about it, not hiding around the words of suicide, having prevention, having help, getting the necessary help, especially if your child or any loved one is coming to you saying they're struggling, having the resources. I will leave some other resources as well below, but you aren't provoking them by talking about it. You're giving them a space to talk about it so they can get the help that they need. And I think that is so imperative, of because I know when I first started as an like pre-practicum internship as a therapist, I was worried about that because I didn't want to like provoke anyone or anything like that. But realizing that you are just creating such a beautiful, sacred space for them to work through what's going on. And we don't have all the answers, but what we do have is giving support, being able to get them the right help they need in the right space. And even if you have a clinical background, it's also at the same time, they need somebody else outside of that as well. Sometimes they need their family, they need their support, but they also need that professional help too, someone outside of the family to help them sort through that. And it just makes you so strong to ask for help. At least that's what I think. It's a vulnerability, but it just shows how strong you are to ask for help when you're not okay. And it's okay not to be okay, but getting the help you need.
And as parents, right?
Yeah.
Our kids don't come with like a user's manual.
No, it's the hardest job in the world. I'm not a parent, but I think it's the hardest job.
I've been a parent before, so I'm not expecting that you're going to do this perfect job parenting, but we think that we ought to. And I want to give parents permission to just be human, right? It's not, when you're reaching for help and care and support outside your family for your child or your teenager, it is not failing in you, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, let's say you're walking down a path, like you're hiking. Mm-hmm. You're going along and you trip over a rock and you fall down and you break your leg, and your leg, like you're bleeding profusely. You're not going to get up and like brush the blood off me, like, it's okay, I'm fine, and keep walking if you've got a broken leg.
Yeah.
No, you are going to go to the emergency room and you are going to have an x-ray and they're going to set your leg and fix it. You don't just pretend it's okay. Yeah. And it's the same way with your mental health and the struggles that you have. Mm-hmm. Please, please, if you're struggling, if your teenager is struggling, if your relationship is struggling, don't like brush your leg off and be like, it's okay, I'm fine, I got this, right? It's okay for you to not know how to fix it when it gets really bad. Mm-hmm. When it's your child and they're struggling with depression and anxiety really bad and they're not functioning and you don't know how to fix it, I'm the emergency room. Okay.
Yeah.
I love teenagers, and I want to save every single life I can. So I have this fabulous 12-week youth program, Loving Teens Back to Life, where I teach them these things. Mm-hmm. I teach them to have ways to express emotion that are healthy and understand their work with their emotions. We all need to learn that. It's a skill that can be built on your entire life. I help them get rid of frenemies, right? Like build real friendships, build real supportive relationships. And it's a set of skills. I help them really use skills to help them internalize how amazing and incredible they really are. That when there are problems in their life, in their relationships, in their ability to do school and jobs and all those things, those are all things that they can learn to do. When they're not going well, it's not because they're broken. Mm-hmm. It's important for teenagers and all of us to understand that the experiences we have in life mm-hmm. are indications of our worth, mm-hmm. right? Bring them internalize that and come to those problems from that place mm-hmm. gives them strength to solve them and work through them instead of getting buried in the undertow and deciding that suicide is the solution.
Right.
We want to love them back to life because we need them here. We do.
Yes, I concur. Because everyone serves a purpose in this world, I believe. And I can't wait to meet all the people I can meet. But I know that what you are doing is such important work as well. And I'm curious, through your journey, what was it like to start creating this 12-week program to really bring these teens together, to really help them and build those lives around them as well and build them up?
Scary. humbling. Just really leaning into inspiration mm-hmm. and being willing to explore my own journey and what helped and didn't help, what made a difference for me, what kept me on this planet, mm-hmm. what for me to move on to my next experience, right? And allowing myself to own that those were the things that helped me so that I could learn how to help other people. And I love working with my clients. It just, I don't know, floats my boat. Makes me so happy. And there are people who are like, how can you do that, right? Like, how can you work with teenagers? They're so tough, and families and all that, relationships and all that. Like, doesn't that just wear you out and tear you down? And I'm no, like, it makes me so stoked when I have someone who comes to me and they're just like, I don't know how to fix this. Mm-hmm. Struggling so bad. This hurts so bad. I just am so lost. I'm just like, and to help them learn skills and see them, put them in practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't do it for them, right? That's,
yeah.
You know that. You've worked with people, right? Like, mm-hmm. I can't do the work for you,
right.
But I show you the path and I know it works. Why? Because I'm still alive on this planet. That's why.
Absolutely.
I didn't understand when my son was going through what he's going through. I didn't understand what to look for. I didn't understand who to turn to. And so I'm here. Like, I'll have a conversation with anybody, anytime. I do free consultations all the time. Mm-hmm. I just want people who are really struggling to find their way through that. Because mm-hmm. once you push through the struggle, like, it's like lifting weights, right? It's like mm-hmm. lifting mental, emotional weights to build your mental and emotional body. And it's tough sometimes. It hurts. It's sore. It's like, right?
Yeah.
But when you do it, mm-hmm. when you building a life you love to live is, it's just peaceful and satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a new thing that you're kind of looking at and sorting out. And that's okay. But the skills that you can learn, the skills that your teenager, your preteen, your child can learn,
yeah.
can take them through the rest of their life.
Oh, yes.
And I remember contemplating this and thinking about this because, you know, we all have had suicide touch us.
Mm-hmm.
So I would almost 100% guarantee that any person that you talk to mm-hmm. has had a child, a sibling, a parent, a friend, an associate that has either taken their life or attempted to take their life. Mm-hmm. We've all been touched by suicide, right? Mm-hmm. This could go away for us not talking about it. But it can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the people who take themselves out of life by suicide completion in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s are people that struggled way back when they were teenagers. Mm-hmm. And they held on for all they could for a long time until something pushed them too far.
Mm-hmm.
They are gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my gig is like, why don't we teach our kids now?
Yeah.
So that instead of struggling and just trying to stay alive for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years and then ending them, what if they could just learn the skills and live their life for 10, 20, 30 years? Like, wouldn't that be fabulous?
Yes.
It's so much better to be living your life than mm-hmm. struggling to stay alive. Do you understand the difference? And so I'm actually writing a children's book called Make a Monster to help teach younger children the same kinds of skills mm-hmm. around relationships and relationships. Because I was like, what if we could teach them even younger? What if we could start when they're little and they could just live this great life, right? Because little kids know they're amazing, don't they?
For the most part.
Yeah, look at me. Look at me do this. Like, I'm tough, I'm strong, I'm cool. And mm-hmm. we can embody that in them and help them hold on to that.
Yeah.
And they live life. And I don't know. It makes me so happy. I had a really incredible experience over the last year and a half. I have a young woman that I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Attempted a suicide and was hospitalized, survived, mm-hmm. and was referred to me. And I worked with her for about a year,
mm-hmm.
weekly sessions. And about a year, and that's been several years ago, right? And about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. she messaged me and she sent me a picture of an ultrasound
wow.
of her baby. Her first child.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've seen pictures of this beautiful child that was born, and I realized that the support that I was able to give her mm-hmm. resulted in a child being born that if she had succeeded in ending her life would never have been born.
No.
That's the difference we can make when we help our teenagers learn to live life, learn to love living life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
I will do that. I will do that any way I can. It will help anybody. I will talk to anyone anytime. I've done meetings with groups of parents and groups of teenagers, and we just need this to be an open conversation.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to just having that conversation too, I think it's important that topics that are taboo or not being spoken about are brought into our conversations to bring awareness, to educate people, and having spaces to go to get the help that's necessary. Because you're right, it's not something that is talked about nearly enough. I mean, it definitely has come out a little bit more in the last 2 years in particular. I've seen more things, more posts like that are positive around talking about it, or more conversations that are being televised or on podcasts, YouTube channels, because I do think it is something that's dear to my heart when it comes to mental health. And even though I don't practice anymore, I'm still such a huge advocate for mental health and mental wellness and being able to have the resources. So knowing that we have you that we could refer people to, or having other professionals as well, there is so many resources, but tapping into that and knowing that they're not alone and people want to see them do well, even if sometimes it's not in the immediate family, but having a support network around you, knowing that you are valued, you matter, this life matters. And like what you're saying too, creating a life that you absolutely love and that you don't want to leave. And I'm curious, because I was going to ask you about a client, but you mentioned the wonderful woman. But I'm curious, with your journey of entrepreneurship thus far, what has been maybe two or three tips that you could give us today that you wish you would have known when you started your journey?
If I could go talk to Melanie, starting my entrepreneur journey, I would have told her that one of the most important things that you can do as an entrepreneur is build you. Most of us, when we're in the entrepreneur journey, have many, many moments of like, who do I think I am to do this? Right?
Yeah.
But it's your movement to do that. It's your vision. It's your heart move to do that, because it is yours. It is yours.
Yeah.
And the thing that always has gotten in my way to build my business as I've gone through this process as an entrepreneur was me, doubting me. So if you can build you, build your own sense of who you are, and just know that if it's in your heart, move to do it, it is yours. And even though there may be, there's a ton of other therapists out there. There's a ton of other people that do what we do in the world, right? But I know this. I know that the people that come to me are mine. I feel like it's that way with everyone. The people that come to you are yours to serve, doing the thing that you do. So do the thing that you love. It doesn't matter if there are other people doing it. You're going to do it the way you do it, and you're going to reach people they're not going to reach. So just reach out for help. Reach out for people who are ahead of you on the path. Don't be afraid to be honest about where you are. You know, if you're on a path from A to Z and Z is like, I've reached my epitome of success, right? And you're on the path and you want to look good, right? You're like, I want to look, I want people to think that I'm really doing well. I'm doing great, right? Like, I'm halfway there at least. I'm like, I'm almost to Y. Like, I'm so close, right? We put on this face, right?
Sometimes.
But if you were to be honest and real, are you really like at B or C? Like, if you were really in some places in your journey, and I want you to know that you cannot move from a place that you aren't. So if you're pretending to be farther on the path than you are, you can't really grow and build from that. And the joy is in the journey.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're at B or C, or you're at G and H, or you're at Y and you're almost like there, whatever. There's always growth to be had, and you can't move from where you aren't. So admit to yourself where you are. Look for someone that's a step ahead of you. And get the answers that you need. And don't try to be something that you're not. It's perfectly okay for you to be where you are. It is a reflection on your worth. What your bank account holds today. It will change every day. And it's not a reflection of your worth where you are on the journey, in your relationship with yourself, with your higher power, with your spouse, with your children, with your journey in life. That's just your journey. That's just your process. But you are amazing, brilliant, incredible, valuable, important. If it's your heart to do something, do it and find some joy in getting it done. Don't beat yourself up so much.
Very well said. And, you know, because it's the truth, it's very much the truth. And I think those are both wonderful tips to really shine light on, because I think we do all matter and we do have still work to do. If we're here, we're growing and evolving. And that's the joy of life too, because new people, new experiences, all the time that we're experiencing is only going to give us new information to have a new perspective. And if we're not here, we won't be able to get that. And that's why it's like what you're saying too, like having the dates planned out of what's to come, of all the amazing things that you were capable of having, experiencing as well. And I think that's what I'm hearing too. And that I know that's what we embody here as well. It's just really pouring into ourselves emotionally, having that balance within our relationships and having boundaries with ourselves and others, and just being able to recognize too when we need more or we need less, but being able to find what works for us. And I love that you really focus on just preventing things from happening by creating spaces for especially teens to come and really have that group environment where they don't feel so alone, but they have somebody giving them the tools to help them along the way. Because I think everybody has a toolbox, but what can we put in that toolbox of understanding what we need in different moments? So I've been enjoying this conversation of just being able to bring awareness around suicide prevention, being able to really talk about our feelings, knowing that it's okay to talk about it, but getting the help we need and not waiting. Being able to be open to it, especially the parents listening or anybody else listening, making sure that you are having those conversations with your kids, that if something's not okay, having that discussion, it's okay to talk about their feelings and validating their feelings, but then getting them help, especially with Melanie or anyone else that can really help too. But especially, I think it's so important what you're doing. The work is beyond this world, but being able to really healing these hearts that you are coming in contact with and just really letting them know they're not alone and there's space for them. So I appreciate everything we've talked about today, but we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Okay.
So the first question is, who is your hero?
Oh man. This was the hardest question for me. Like, you at least told me about them. And I appreciate these questions because they really created this thought process in me. So my process was to look up, like, what is a hero, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's a hero? We a lot of times, like, we throw words around, but we really don't understand what they are, right? And mm-hmm. And as I looked at the definition of hero, there were some words that came out about, like, what a hero is. Someone who sacrifices, someone who has determination, someone who's brave, courageous, has perseverance, has compassion on other people. And I was like, I'm my hero.
Yes.
I know that might sound really full of myself.
No.
And I have other heroes in my life, like a lot of them, right? Coaches that I've had, other business owners that are my peers, Kirk Duncan of Three Key Elements.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone to a ton of his events and followed a lot of things with him. I've been in his mastermind. He's fabulous. And what I love about him is he's real and he has integrity and he comes from a place of being open about his own struggle mm-hmm. and still growing mm-hmm. in being an entrepreneur, right? And so I guess what I want to say is, all of you out there who are entrepreneurs and you're still kicking and fighting for your dreams, all of you parents, especially single moms and dads that are still pushing and fighting to be the best person for your children, you're my heroes. All of you who have struggled with an addiction, and you're in recovery and you relapse and you get back on it, you're my hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All very important people. Again, we're all important in different ways, but each person brings something beautiful to the table. But I love that you acknowledge each group that you did too, because I think sometimes they're not always acknowledged in that way. Thank you for sharing that. What motivates you to work smarter?
Honestly, because I love to play. but I'm always having to work on that one, right? I am a visionary type. I'm like up in the clouds, like I have a big vision, and the details of everything just bogs me down and makes me like frustrated so bad. So the thing that motivates me to work smarter is just to give me more time and space to be mm-hmm. and play and to enjoy life. So I'm the kind of person that has to like, let's get the work done because the fun stuff has got to be there.
Yes. Because that's part of living life on our terms.
Right? Like, I think grow up, well, I don't think I'm ever going to grow up, really. Like, I'm just a forever teenager. So maybe that's why I relate to them so well, right?
Hey, it makes sense.
I don't like adulting very much. Like, I want to play. And I advocate strongly for people who are not happy adulting that you child for a while.
Yeah.
Child for a while. That's a good phrase. Because play makes life worth living. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to get to the end of their life and be like, oh man, I'm so excited that I spent 40 hours a week for 500 million years working. That was like the best experience. Now what we remember is like the vacation to Maui or up in the mountains or like, I don't know, whatever your play is. Child for a while.
I think that's important. I like the term. Definitely take that, patent that. But I think too, it goes back to just having that inner child being nurtured. And no matter what age we are, I think it's important because when you look at children, like what we were saying earlier, they're just like happy, like moving around, just like this confidence within, but really nurturing that too is what I'm hearing from you as well, because I think that's super important to remember, because that's something I have forgotten along the way too, and had to remember of being a kid and having fun. And that's okay. You can still adult, but you can also have fun too. That's part of life. Got to have the integration of it all. And so if you were a superhero, kind of are, but what would be your power or powers?
I want to fly. I want to fly. Yeah. I don't really, when you think about superhero powers, you think about things like, oh, becoming invisible and being the strongest man and x-ray vision. And, those are the things I've thought about. But really, ultimately, like, I look at nature. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a science fantasy person. Like, I want my dragon. I want to ride a dragon.
Yeah.
I look at things that fly, birds that fly, and I think about like the vision that they have, like the big vision they can see that I'm not able to see, right?
Yeah.
And so when I'm like in a plane up in the sky and I look out and I see what's up in the sky, I'm like, ah, I just want to be able to fly. It just feels so free to me, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well said. That was very insightful. If you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or past, who would they be?
I tried really hard to keep this to four.
I know. It's a hard one to keep to four. I get it.
Life. I just think I should get more in life than everybody else. I'm just that way. So I have six.
Okay, let's hear them.
I tried. The 14th Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to sit in a room and be in his presence and hear from him, and it was fabulous. Saint Francis of Assisi. Mm-hmm. I've been to Assisi, and it's beautiful, and I love his prayer. Michelangelo. Mm-hmm. I've stood at the Sistine Chapel and stood at the feet of the David and the Pieta, and I'm an artist. I paint, and I just I want to hang out with Michelangelo. Ayanna Van Zandt. If you've read any of her books, I highly recommend. Mm-hmm. She really helped me move through the struggles that I had as a human being from abuse as a child. She's amazing, Ayanna Van Zandt. Pope John Paul II. He was all about love. And I just, I love him. And Robin Williams. Robin Williams is so much like so many people who struggle with suicidality and not being able to manage life when life becomes overwhelming. He always made us laugh.
Yeah.
He wanted everybody to feel better than he felt. Right. And so if you know somebody that's like that, that they always seem happy, be sure you check up on them too. Right.
Like, yes.
I love all of the laughter that he left us. And I was so brokenhearted when he went away. He chose to be done. Right. So sometimes, oftentimes, people that look like they're okay aren't okay. It's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to talk about it. So, Dalai Lama, St. Francis of Assisi, Michelangelo, Ayana Van Zant, Pope John Paul II, and Robin Williams. Kind of an interesting group to sit together, right?
Yes, no, absolutely. I love the dynamics, or could think of the dynamics, but I'm sure it would be very interesting and entertaining, but also very thought-provoking as well. And so, what is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Oh my God. So many things. There's not a thing. I have that circled on my paper and I've thought about it, and there's things that I've done that were daring. I have done a 14 platform zip line in Costa Rica.
Pretty daring.
I went to a warrior's camp and I'm scared crapless of heights, and I climbed telephone poles and I did a 30-foot firewalk. Like, I've done brave things. I gave birth to 7 children.
Seems very daring to me.
I got divorced with 6 children in tow, knowing I was going to be laid off my job and not knowing how I was going to keep all of us alive, and made myself a better mother. Mm-hmm. I've touched on the abuse that I've experienced in my childhood and did inner child work. It's daring when you step into your mental health struggle and you walk into a room with somebody and say, I need help, and you trust them. I think that's daring. I think all my clients are daring. Building my own business is daring.
A lot of daring things.
Yeah, more to come.
I believe that. And what is the last book that you either listened to or read?
So I'm always reading more than one book. So there are 2 that I just finished recently. One is called 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals by Oliver Berkman. It's really good. And The Everyday Hero. The author's Robin Sharma. The Everyday Hero. That book is so intense. I'm going to have to read it again. Like, it's so packed, right?
Yeah.
We're all heroes.
If you were to be an animal, personality, type, style, what animal would you be?
I'm a jaguar.
Jaguar.
They're black and sleek and beautiful and really, really fast and kind of fierce when they need to be. And I think that's
that's a good explanation. I could see it. What is your favorite way to spend a day off? So if you aren't seeing any clients or doing any of the amazing things you do in this world, what are you doing on your free time?
Well, a lot of my ideal days are spent walking by the ocean. That's a happy place. It's just the feel and the sound, and it's just calming to me. Water's really calming, walking by a stream. the sound of the water. If I'm at home, it's, and this is maybe telling, I don't know, it's sitting on my bed, hand quilting, like sewing a quilt or painting on a painting. That's my space that I love to be in. Always creating.
Mm. Well, creating is good. It's good for the soul and the mind.
Yeah.
And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
One of the things that I think it's really important for people to get about therapy, counseling, whatever you want to call that is, and I find this with people and I want people to know this, right? Our tendency when we go to a therapist, if it's not working really well, is to think that it's just because we're really messed up. We're on medication for depression or anxiety or whatever, and it's not working really well, we think it's because we're messed up. And I want everybody to know that not all therapists are built the same. Like, so if your therapy isn't working, I want you to fire your therapist and hire another one.
Mm-hmm.
Give up on you or give up on the process.
Mm-hmm.
Find one that fits you. It's just like finding, a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That you are comfortable going to, or I don't know, you remember being a teenager and going to high school and there were the teachers that you hated and the teachers that you loved so much. They were amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The personality kind of thing, right?
It's, oh, yes.
And therapists work different modalities of treatment, and one modality of treatment might not be your gift. So mm-hmm. be willing to not give up on you or the process mm-hmm. of getting. You might need to look at talking to somebody else.
Yes, I think that's really good words of wisdom as well, because I do think, I used to say it all the time, I might not be the right fit, but you know, it's kind of like dating. You test it out, some work, some you end up marrying, but it's just being able to build that relationship, what you feel safe and comfortable with. And I think I just wanted to echo that, because I do know that not every client and therapist are the perfect fit, and that's okay. They're, like you're saying, there is absolutely nothing wrong. It's just you need somebody else that's going to take you on that path. So I just wanted to really echo that, because I think it's super, super important as well.
Although I have to say, I think I'm a really good therapist.
I believe you. I believe you. And so where can people find you, hire you? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
So my business is Healing Hearts and Homes. That's what I do. So healingheartsandhomes.com is my website. You can see me on there. You can find me on Facebook, Melanie Brown. I'm the one with the hair. And you can message me that way. And I'm always willing to chat with people and set up a conversation for a, you know, consultation call to see what you're needing. And if I can help you personally, or I can get you on the road to the help that you need, I love doing that. So. And speaking of someday, I have to admit that my someday is I'm launching a podcast. I'm just going to say this here because it holds me accountable. I think that we need to have more conversations about suicide. So I'm launching a podcast, All Things Suicide, this next month, where I'm just going to have guests on where we can just talk about it, whether you've been the person that's attempted and survived, or you know someone that's passed away because they completed suicide, or you have a loved one that struggles with it, or you're a professional that has something to do with it, or you just have something to say about it, right?
Yeah.
Want to have conversations and help it be something that we understand more, so that we can keep people on the planet that it's not their time to leave yet. HealingHeartsAndHomes.com, Melanie Brown. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Melanie, for coming on today and just sharing your journey, your story, and how you are really helping the teenagers in particular, but your clients, and really being able to have important conversations that are going to make such a difference in so many people's lives. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for just chatting with me, Caroline. It was great.
Of course. It was an honor to have you on. So make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Melanie today that you learned, that you brought awareness to, that maybe you didn't know prior? I'm sure she would love to see that comment as well. And we'll see you on the next video.